Good morning, everyone. My first mistake this morning was sitting next to the radiator with my Christmas jumper on. So if I look a bit redder than normal, that kind of explains it. And I wasn't sure, should I wear my Christmas jumper today or not, because Christmas is past now. It was last Thursday. But I went with it, because it's a strange time. Christmas is over. The turkey's been eaten. Maybe there's a wee bit left over for sandwiches. The presents have been opened. The king's speech has been watched or ignored, depending on what you think. And we're in that in-between time, aren't we? Christmas is over and the new year hasn't begun. Perhaps you're looking forward to new year, thinking about what's ahead, about your plans for the new year. Maybe some of you are thinking of having resolutions, the things that you're going to do in the new year. You're going to definitely lose that weight or read that book or whatever your plans are, and you're waiting for the new year to start before you do that. But meanwhile, we're in between. We're in that time in between. It's like we're waiting for something to get going. But meanwhile, we're just waiting. Not everyone's had their presents opened, though. There's some people who they wait until January the 6th to open their presents. Some countries have different traditions, and some people wait until January the 6th. And these days in between Christmas and that January the 6th are known as the 12 days of Christmas. Did you notice in the reading that one of the presents in the 12 days was mentioned? If you look carefully, you'll see that when Mary and Joseph came to the temple and they presented Jesus to God at the temple, they brought two turtle doves. That was in there. Now, kids, look at this visual, because there's a mistake up there. And if you can come to me at the end and tell me what the mistake is, I've got a prize for you. So anyone under 16, so you first years can have a chance at this as well. Have a look at that and see if you can spot the mistake. If you can't, maybe you can ask an adult later and see if they notice. But I noticed this when I brought this visual up. But these are the 12 days of Christmas, the time in between Christmas and January the 6th. January the 6th is sometimes called the Epiphany. It's when some people remember the wise men visiting Jesus and think about how Jesus reveals himself to people, how some people come across Jesus in their lives. Apparently in Ireland, it's a day when the women have a rest and the men do all the housework, but that's not really relevant to our topic this morning. Just an aside I thought I would mention. But it's a time of waiting. It's a time of thinking about what's coming. And we're going to think about three people that waited for Jesus, and how they met him, and how they responded to him when they had met him, what they did when they met Jesus. First one, when Jesus was brought to the temple, and Mary and Joseph brought him, there was a man there whose name was Simeon. We don't know how old Simeon was, but we kind of assume he was an old man, because he'd been given this promise that he would see the Lord's Saviour before he died. So we assume he's quite an old man, and he's near death by some of the things he said. But Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple at Jerusalem, probably about 40 days after Jesus was born. It wasn't far away. It was only about 6 miles between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, so they didn't have far to travel to take Jesus to the temple. And when they got there, they presented the baby before the Lord, and they brought an offering of two turtle doves. Let's read about this man that was waiting there in the temple. He wasn't there all the time. He came specifically. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. Now, as I said, we don't really know how old this man Simeon was, and we don't know when he was given this promise, but he was a man who listened to God. He was a man who was close enough to God that he heard his word. And he'd been given a promise that he would see the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the coming King. And he was a man who followed what God said. The people knew him as righteous and devout, someone who obeyed God. And yet he knew that he needed a saviour. You know, there are many people who think they are good, who think that they are devout, religious, I follow God's word, and they think that they don't need a saviour. But this man knew that God's saviour was coming, and he knew that he would get to see him before he died. Now, he didn't wait in the temple. He wasn't there all the time, but he went about his daily business until one day the Spirit spoke to him again and guided him to the temple at the same time as Mary and Joseph brought the very child he was waiting for. Imagine the anticipation as you come into the temple and you know that God is bringing the Redeemer and you're going to meet him. I don't know if he knew he would be a child, if he was maybe expecting a person to stride in or an angelic being to be standing there or just a light to be shining. But he knew he was coming to meet the Redeemer. What did he do? Verse 27, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This man, when he met the Saviour, rejoiced. This man praised God for what God was bringing into the world, someone who could be his Saviour, who could be the Saviour of Israel. And this man had been reading his Bible. He knew the book of Isaiah. He knew that God wasn't just sending a Saviour for Israel. It was a Saviour to the nations, a Saviour to the Gentiles, a Saviour for you and me. He knew the prophet Isaiah had said the Messiah would be a Saviour to all the world and not just the Jews. And so he rejoiced. But he had a warning as well. It wasn't all just joy, because he knew that for Mary and for this child, it wasn't going to be an easy life. And he said these words. And his father and his mother marvelled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. You see, we can all love a baby. We all love to see a baby, don't we? There's nobody gathers round a baby and says, oh, this is a bad child, this is a bad person. We can all love a baby. And so when we come at Christmas time and we think about Jesus in the manger, we can only really have good thoughts. But when that baby grows up and learns and speaks and does, some will agree and some will disagree. Some will be turned away from them because of the things they say. And especially for Jesus, how people responded to him would reveal what was in their hearts. And many people wouldn't like that. Many people would turn away and say, this is not for me. And it was going to be hard for Mary as well. She was going to see him die on the cross. This was a joyous occasion. Christ had come into the world, but it was also a serious occasion, a somber occasion. It would be the saving of many, but many also would reject him. I wonder if you've met this Jesus, not the baby in the manger, but the Son of God, who looks into hearts and tells you that you're a sinner. That can be hard to take. We might want to deny it. We might want to say, but I'm a good person. But when Jesus looks into your heart, he sees the reality of who you are. He sees your sin. He sees your failings. And yet he still loves you. We might want to deny it, but it's the truth that we are sinners and that we need a Saviour. And the good news is that he did something about it. He did something about that sin by going to the cross and dying so that we could be forgiven, so that he could be our Saviour. This man, Simeon, gave praise to God because a Saviour had come into the world. There's another person in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, and she had stayed there in the temple for many years. Her name was Anna. She was an older woman, and she was waiting too. She was waiting in the temple. Let's read the words from verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer every night and day. She did wait in the temple, but she didn't sit and do nothing. She wasn't idle. For many years, Anna had been in the temple and she'd been worshipping God. She'd been fasting and she'd been praying. Notice that Luke calls her a prophetess, someone who hears God's words and tells people. But it doesn't sound like she spent all her time telling people what to do. Rather, she's spending time letting God talk to her, getting to know God and hearing his word, being ready to receive whatever God brings. And because she had spent all that time with God, she recognised God's promised Saviour when he was brought into the temple. How did she react when she met with Jesus? Verse 38, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She went and told everyone she could. Imagine waiting for something for all of your life and then it happens. Waiting for Christmas morning was hard for some of you. And that was just a few days. You were itching for Christmas to come. Imagine waiting your whole life and then God sends what he'd promised. Maybe if you had a brother or sister that was still sleeping when you woke up and you wanted them to know that Christmas was here as well, you would go and wake them up and let them know it's Christmas at last. That's how Anna felt. She wanted everyone to know the great day had come, the day that God had promised that he would send his Redeemer. When you meet Jesus and he becomes your Saviour, don't you want your loved ones to know all about him? Anna went out and told everyone she knew. It reminds me of the shepherds as well, when they came and saw Jesus in the manger. They went and told everyone round about them that the Saviour had come. The third person isn't really a person, but a people. You see, the Israelites had been waiting for over 400 years since the last prophecy had come to them of God's promise. They'd been waiting over 400 years for God to bring his promise to pass. God wanted them to be properly ready. And so he sent someone first to prepare the way for Jesus. His name was John. And he went about telling people that the promised one was coming soon. How did he want them to act as they waited for the promised Saviour to come? Well, first of all, we read about it in Luke chapter 3. He told them to repent, to turn around from their sin, to realise that they were sinners, and to turn away from it. And to publicly show that to everyone, they came and they were baptised in the river. And John became known as John the Baptist, because many people came and they said, I want to turn away from my sin. I'm repenting and John baptized them. And he told them how they should act now that they had this change in their life. He said that they should behave as godly people, to show others the change that had happened to them. He told them to share. He told them to be honest. He told them not to cheat. He told them not to grumble. Maybe we find some of these things hard. And then came the one who Jesus had been preparing, John had been preparing them for. All the waiting was over as Jesus came. What did John do when he met Jesus? Well, he did exactly what Jesus asked him to do. He baptized them in the river. And when Jesus stood up again, everyone around them witnessed an amazing thing. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Here was God the Father speaking, God the Spirit coming down and witnessing, and God the Son being revealed to the people. Many of those people followed Jesus from that time on. Many of them were disciples of his because they had seen the salvation of God revealed to them. Three people who were waiting for Jesus. Simeon had that promise that the Savior was going to come. Anna was in the temple waiting and praying as she did so, and she saw the Savior. And the whole people of Israel had been waiting for hundreds of years for a Savior to come. What about you? Have you met Jesus? Are you waiting for Jesus to be revealed to you? Maybe today he is showing himself as the promised Messiah, the only one who can be your Savior. If that's you, maybe you think, well, I'll wait till the new year. I'll wait till I can make myself a bit better. I'll wait till I'm ready. Don't wait. Make this the day that you say yes to the Lord Jesus. If you're saved, what are you doing now? Are you waiting for him to return? Because when he went away, he promised that he would come back someday. And waiting doesn't just mean sitting in a chair, looking around and hoping that one day something will happen. It means worshipping him. It means praising him. It means praying for people that you love and telling them about him. It means walking with him day by day, living a life that reveals him to others. It's the week before Christmas, after Christmas, and before New Year. Some people make New Year resolutions, things they will try to do in the coming year. Don't wait until January the 1st. If God is showing Jesus to you today, come to him today. Don't put it off. And if Jesus is your Savior, show it in your words, your actions, your kindnesses, your attitude. Let others see that Jesus is real to you, that you have met with him, and that they can meet with him too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Redeemer. We thank you for the place he came, the humble stable, the place where the cattle fed, that was the place where he was laid. We thank you that you sent him for us. We thank you that you sent him for the nations, that many should be revealed in their hearts as sinful people in need of a Savior, but also that he had come to supply that need, that we could be saved. Lord, help us to walk with him day by day. Help us to show others the love that he has shown to us. Help us to reveal him in the things that we do and the things that we say. In Jesus' name, amen.